You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look at ways that we can work together and we can help each other as we minister to the Lord or minister for the Lord. We've got a special privilege today. We have Professor Leroy Fourlines. He taught for many, many years at Free Will Baptist Bible College, what is known now as Welch College, originally from North Carolina. He and his wife moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and ended up ministering for many, many years. And so we so appreciate you, Mr. Fourlines. We're so glad to have you here with us today. How is it that you ended up at Free Will Baptist Bible College?
In January of 1948, I went to a union meeting is what they were called then. A quarterly meeting would be another name for it. And at that union meeting, they handed out a poster board picture of the student body and faculty. I took it home with me and got the address off. And then I wrote to the registrar, which was Mrs. Welch, and before long I was accepted to start in the fall of 1948. So that's how I ended up going. I had heard that the college was about to fall apart and things. But when I got a chance to come, I did.
Oh, boy. So you ended up going there. Dr. L.C. Johnson was the president at that point and was teaching classical Arminianism, I suppose, and you were able to learn a lot as a student. Then you ended up going off to graduate school as well, didn't you? Back then, folks didn't go to graduate school that often. What led you to go off to graduate school?
I want to go back and mention a course that Dr. Johnson taught called Arminian Theology. And what it was for us to find out whether we were Arminian or not. It was a discussion class, and I monopolized the class with my comments, and Dr. Piccarilli came in second, and we became good friends in the course, and that course is what put us on the road to classical Arminianism.
Wow. So y'all are in the same class.
Yes.
Dr. Johnson's teaching it, and that's what got a lot of this going, I see.
Yes, and Dr. Johnson brought up Winona Lake School of Theology to me. He had been there one term, and he encouraged me. So in 1954, I went for the first session. Now, Winona Lake School of Theology was the only summer school that on the level of theology in graduate school that was operating in the nation at that time. And therefore, they were able to bring the top-line professors. In fact, about it, my professors at Winona Lake School of Theology actually would be considered a who's who of the evangelical theological world at that time.
It was a wonderful opportunity.
Yes. And I had people like Edward J. Young, Carl F. H. Henry, Kenneth Kanzer, the envy of other people how many different professors that we had. Of course, it was under a lot of stress. We met 6 days a week, four class periods a day, and it really kept you moving. But it had its fallbacks, but the pluses were stronger. That's what put me into the company of the great theologians of that day. I think I mentioned Carl Henry. Is one of the ones.
Wow, that is something. That's pretty exciting. So I guess a lot of things were being worked out in your mind and your heart.
Yes, there was the tension between what was still being called at that time the fundamentalist new evangelical controversy. And they were more of the new evangelical slant, but they were solid. And it furnished me a contact with the people who were making the news. And so on. So that's how I went on to Lake School of Theology. Now, how I went to Northern Baptist Theological Seminary was with my wife's prodding. In fact, about it, she had prodded me on up to Winona Lake. She deserves most of the credit. And so in 1959, I graduated from Winona Lake with an M.A. In Bible and Theology. And then in I went to Northern Baptist in 1960 and graduated in 1962 and came back to the Bible College to teach. And then some years later, I went back. The Winona Lake had moved to Chicago, and they called it the Chicago Graduate School of Theology there. And I got a THM from that school, and that had taken so much out of me that I made up my mind I would not put my family through any other pressure. And so that ended my formal theological training, but I haven't felt hurt by it.
It did not slow you down, did
it?
So, and we were still able to get biblical systematics first, later the quest for truth.
Actually, the ethics book was the first one.
Oh, was that the first one?
Yeah, and it was printed in 1973. Now, Roger Reeds asked me, I had taught it in school in a Sunday school class at Donaldson, and he asked me to write it in 13 lessons for Sunday school. That's why it's 13 lessons.
Okay.
And it was published in 1973.
So instead of it being Sunday school lessons, that turns into a book and ends up being a class and so forth?
Yes. Now, the book that you have there, Biblical Systematics, I wrote that in the summer of 1974. And it took me 8 weeks to write it. Now, I was really devoted to it for that 8 weeks. I didn't know what I just wanted Free Will Baptist to have some theology that was written by Free Will Baptist. And it so happened, well, after I got there, I got more here than I've got anywhere else. So I used it as a book in class. And it has been translated into Russian.
Oh,
10,000 copies were translated. There are more copies of it in Russia than America.
Well, how about that? And so that has helped us out a bit. And it was translated in Spanish too, wasn't it?
And then the Romans commentary, I believe it was published in 1987. Uh-huh. I wrote it over a 2-year period.
I see.
And then it was published in, as I say, in 1987. I've got good responses from mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. And then later, the quest for truth comes along. That was that the 90s?
It was published in 2001.
Okay.
It took me 2 years to write it. Mm-hmm. And then it was published in 2001. And I kept in touch with Matt Pinson and Steve
Ashby
uh-huh. During that time. And they made a good contribution to my writing that. We enjoyed working together for it. And later, Dr. Pinson selected the chapters out of it and published it as Classical Arminianism. And it's probably sold more because that appeals. And Classical Arminianism has come on the scene as a result of Free Will Baptist Bible College. And I have been called the face of Classical Arminianism. Mm-hmm. And I get calls, emails occasionally from people in other countries that have read it and write me something about it.
Now, does that go all the way back to the Dr. Johnson class?
Yes, yes. And the foundation of Classical Arminianism was laid in that class.
Wow. That's pretty good.
And if you will talk to Dr. Piccirilli about it sometime, I think he'll be in agreement on it.
Mm-hmm. So the things that were happening in that class with you all and Dr. Johnson, and then many of you, when you and Dr. Piccirilli end up going off to graduate school and so forth,
yes,
doing your writings and so forth. And now it is kind of interesting that there is a lot more interest in classical Arminianism. Some people refer to Reformed Arminianism.
A lot of people know about classical Arminianism, and some of them have used a different name for it, but it's mm-hmm. the same thing. Well, Dr. Pinson or Dr. Piccirilli give it a name. It's the same thing.
Now let's hear from one of our partners. For over 60 years, the Commission for Theological Integrity has sought to equip Free Will Baptist churches to minister wisely in changing times. Its purpose is to alert our churches to trends that could threaten our theological integrity as a denomination. The Commission also regularly provides resources that seek to preserve the theological integrity of our movement, including timely seminars, Integrity, a Journal of Christian Thought, an annual symposium, and a website, fwbtheology.com. Through these resources, the Commission hopes to help strengthen and safeguard the integrity of your ministry. For more information, visit fwbtheology.com. Follow the Commission on Facebook or Twitter or email them at fwbtheology@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
So some of our folks out there may not know a lot about Free Will Baptist or may not know a lot about classical or Reformed Arminianism. You definitely, we would suggest they should look at quest for truth, and maybe even just buy the book Classical Arminianism and study it there.
Yeah.
Dr. Pinson also has a new book out called The Apologetics of Leroy Fourlines that you guys have done. That would be probably a good place for folks to look as well.
Yes, if they're interested in apologetics, and people should be.
Mm-hmm. We should want to know that in this day and time. Tell us a bit, though, maybe for the novice or the new person, define for them classical or reformed Arminianism. Kind of explain it in a nutshell.
Classical Arminianism, I chose the name classical because it's the Arminianism that Arminius advocated.
Mm-hmm.
The reformed Arminianism is looking at it from a theological point of view, how it compared with other, and they consider it to be a part of the reformed movement. Now, that's new for most people to think of Arminianism as being a part of the reformed movement, Dr. Pence and Dr. Pickerly have explored that part more than I have.
Mm-hmm. That you basically were saying the way going back to Arminian or Arminius' original teachings was kind of a way to focus.
And by the way, I went over to Vanderbilt Joint University Library and checked out the writings of Arminianism, and so I had done quite a bit of research in it to find out. See, Dr. Johnson really wanted us to find out really who we are,
mm-hmm.
Who we were, and I think that we got anchored pretty well in the right place.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it, and so He was really trying to stress we need to know who we are.
Yes.
That's a message that needs to continue to.
And there were so many different ideas about Arminianism until we needed a little more definition of who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that we are the Arminians of the type that Arminius himself was.
Mm-hmm. So we're really closer to
yes.
him, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we kind of lay that out in a nutshell. It's laid out in these different books, and you taught that across the years there at Free Will Baptist Bible College, now Welch College.
Yes.
And we're able to teach many, many pastors, many people that went on to be pastors. Why is it so important that we stress classical Arminianism today? Why is it important in our day and time?
I think it helps us clarify who we are from the advocates of eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
And eternal security used to be really taught and advocated from a very careless point of view.
Mm-hmm.
They would tell people if they'd make a profession of faith, now no matter what you do and what you don't do, when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of those that made that empty profession, when the roll is called up yonder, they won't be there unless at a later time they got converted.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a way of explaining them.
And I'm concerned about some way or another in the evangelical world, we're not pushing the idea that there is a real change. There is a new birth. And as a result of that new birth, people are changed. They are new creatures. And another thing, I don't hear any talk about desire for a revival. Maybe somebody else does, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And we are in bad need of more depth in the evangelical church world. I think that so much of it passes by from what I have called cheap, easy believism.
Yes. So you've taught that over the years, how it's it's important to not just, well, to really believe and really be changed.
Yes.
And so it's important that we do remember that in stressful revival as well.
Yes.
Now, there's also been, you were also pushing back against really incorrect teaching about Arminians, weren't you, Arminianism?
Yes.
So
yes.
Talk to us a bit about that, some of the things that just aren't really...
Well, the majority of the people today who claim to be Arminians are those who believe in the second work of grace or something like that, mm-hmm. and which is very different from the way that we teach it. And let me just make an observation. The people before we had a college, they went to places like Moody and Columbia and Bob Jones and places like that. If they had been going to Methodist schools instead, we might have been that type of Methodism, Arminianism, mm-hmm. Today. But then our school came into existence, and our students went to Calvinistic seminaries for the most part, but the professor saw that from our students that went to seminary, they saw that we were not like what they had thought of as Arminianism. So mm-hmm. it was recognized even by the Calvinists in the seminaries.
Mm-hmm. So we were more influenced on that side. It also goes to show you how important it was that we have our own school and we be educated.
Right.
Because who knows where we would be without it today.
Right.
Well, we so appreciate you, Mr. Fourlines, and we appreciate you taking the time to prepare yourself and all the writings. We don't even have all the books here that with us today that you have written, but you have truly laid a foundation for us as we look at classical or Reformed Arminianism and try to help others along. So we appreciate you, and we appreciate Dr. Fourlines too and the good work that she did all across the years. So convey that to her too when you get a chance to talk to her. And we appreciate her as well.
Yes.
And the good work both of y'all have done over the years in your ministry for Free Will Baptist.
Well, thank you.